Anything else that came out at ASCO-GU or come out recently about the M0 space that you want to comment on?
The only other thing that I thought was important was there was an update on the Spartan study. So the Spartan, of course, published in the New England Journal, already FDA approved. This is apalutamide versus placebo, again, for the same population of patients, M0 CRPC. And Eric Small presented a follow-up looking at a unique endpoint that he called PFS2, progression-free survival 2. Let me explain what this is because it's a little bit difficult to conceptualize. So in the Spartan study, patients with M0 CRPC received either apalutamide or placebo. They were blinded. And then when they developed metastasis, they were unblinded, and the patients that were on the placebo crossed over to receive apalutamide. And in both groups, before the study was unblinded, they were offered free abiraterone. This was one of the ways that the sponsor wanted to attract patients to the study. And so what Eric Small presented was the progression-free survival 2, which means the time from beginning apalutamide or placebo through the first metastatic progression onto the second drug, which was often abiraterone, but sometimes was crossover apalutamide, and then the second progression on that next agent. So it's truly PFS1 plus PFS2. It's not just PFS2. So PFS1 plus 2. And the reason for doing that was to see whether there was a prolongation of the progression if you add therapy A to therapy B. And there was indeed a very significant prolongation of that PFS 1 plus 2, as I call it, about a 50% reduction, hazard ratio 0.5. So this was very compelling evidence that not only does apalutamide prevent metastases, but even when the patients get the subsequent therapy, many of which, by the way, got standard of care enzalutamide or abiraterone, and even though patients in both groups got the standard of care therapies next, and yet the ones receiving apalutamide early rather than waiting until after METs to receive their AR targeting therapy had a longer PFS 1 plus 2. If this is true, then one might hypothesize that there could potentially be an overall survival benefit too. So this might indirectly answer the question about early versus late AR targeting therapy. Again, it wasn't specifically designed to answer that question, but it's kind of a surrogate or a poor man's version of getting to that question.
I was just flashing on a session on ovarian cancer we were doing. I don't know if you know Rob Coleman from MD Anderson, but one of the things that he's been talking about recently, I thought was really interesting, ovarian cancer, is that the prevalence is increasing, and yet the incidence and mortality is the same. And he used that as an argument that modern therapy is keeping people alive longer with ovarian cancer. What's going on with the prevalence of prostate cancer? Because it kind of seems like we should be pushing this out more. The survival should be increasing.
Well, the prevalence of primary prostate cancer is really dependent on the PSA screening phenomenon. So during times when people screen more PSAs, they get more localized disease. I'm not aware of data that suggests that the prevalence of metastatic disease overall is increasing, although there was recently a trend against PSA screening. So for 2 or 3 years, more men were presenting with M1 HSPC, hormone-sensitive prostate cancer. But I think now that the screening recommendation has gone back to a level C, which basically says discuss it with your physician again, the prevalence is going down.
Just out of curiosity, do you think that screening does significantly alter the natural history of prostate cancer?
Well, this is a big discussion that I don't consider myself to be an expert on. The question is, I think screening identifies patients that need to undergo a biopsy. The big question is, once you have that biopsy and you have that Gleason score, which of those patients need to get primary definitive therapy and which patients can be watched? And if we indiscriminately treat all patients with any Gleason score with primary therapy, many of them will be harmed and not benefit and not survive longer. But if we are a little bit smarter and nimble with who we treat and we treat the high-risk patients, then in that setting, it probably will save lives and morbidity.